Bones 4-5. Troops in contact. Stand by for assault. 5-0 enemy troops in the open. Grid 1-8 Zulu. Bravo Foxtrot. 0-9-1-1. 2-0-0-1. No cash requested at this time. If it's available, you can send the Bones. But I think we got this.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right. Hey, James. So we're going to be talking tonight about James, and he's going to tell us a little bit about he's going to start off to just tell us his military background, but we're going to talk about his business experience and starting the small business and the lessons he's learned and those sorts of things. So stay with us. So, James, tell us a little bit about your military background.
Yeah, so I enlisted in the Air Force back in 2002, was originally going to join as an F-15 electronic specialist, but my recruiter had me take this weird test called the D-Lab, Defense Language Aptitude Battery, and they said,
right.
Well, you're apparently like a nerd, so we want you to go be a linguist. And I said, sounds like a plan. What am I going to do? They said, I'll be in embassies, of which I set foot in zero in my career. But it was interesting. I show up at language school and they said, you're going to be a Chinese linguist. And that was unexpected.
Huh.
I failed Spanish in junior college. You guys know this, right? But that turned into a 7-year enlisted career as an airborne Chinese linguist. So it was a unique, really niche community in the intelligence arena. And from that, did about 7.5 years, most of my time in the Pacific and a couple tours downrange in support of OIF and OEF, and then found myself accepted into officer training school as a pilot. And through a turn of events while in pilot training, found out had a small fracture in my lumbar disc 5, and that led to the end of my time in pilot training. Apparently that's not waiverable like many things. So
no,
that was the end of my active duty days. Yeah.
So a couple of questions. So your lumbar, is there any issues with that now?
I actually, it was interesting. It started bugging me about 2004 while I was still in language school, and went undiagnosed for years. I mean, MRIs, physical therapy, and steroid injections. And then in officer training, my physical therapist in pilot training, the physical therapist I was working with there realized it was a fracture. And I had about 10 years of chronic back pain, but it's been a bother. But in the last 2 years, I've been working with a chiropractor that changed my life. And if anyone needs a good one, I got one. So
really good. Do you know how it originally started? What caused it?
The back issue. No, probably carrying around 75 pounds of books and cassette tapes back in DLI when everything was in print and on playing all your radio or your listening practice on a Walkman. But I don't know. There was no like root cause that they could tell, and therefore not service connected or anything. So,
Well, damn. I know a lot of guys in SF that got it from jumping. You do so many jumps, jumping can actually be kind of abusive. But so also tell me about, so we were joking earlier in the week about, so where did the cryptographic linguist come in? So you're a Chinese linguist. Where did the cryptography come into it?
It's airborne cryptologic linguist, and I can't get too much into the weeds about it because it's sensitive military intelligence operations. But basically, it's we provide information and actionable intelligence to that community in an airborne capacity. So.
Right. So there's gotcha. So you know Chinese. So if the next time I see you, if I say ni hao, you'll know what I'm talking. You'll be able to.
I will assume you're saying hi in Chinese and not talking about your kneecap or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So now on when I see you, dude, it's either going to be ni hao or ni hao ma. Anyways, don't make fun of my tone. So my tonation my tone's probably stuck. So
mine
all right,
do too.
So anyway,
come on.
Let's talk about business. For all of our audience out there, we're going to talk about the lessons he's learned about starting small business and the ins and outs and the various things and there's lots of things. It's not just about money and capital. There's all sorts of various issues. So anyways, take it away. Tell us about your business, what it is, and start with that.
Sure. Yeah. So I founded Liberty Candle Company last summer. It's actually July 3rd. I'm going to back up just a little bit and say why a candle company. In 2005, when I was at Air Force Base, my computer had broken, and I was waiting for parts to come in because Amazon wasn't really a thing yet, so it took some time. And while I was waiting for those parts, I found myself at Michael's looking for something to do. Instead of getting the, F-15 model, I was thinking of getting about a candle kit and made some candles for then girlfriend, now wife, Emily.
Right.
And she loved them, made some more, had some friends that saw I was doing this. I gave them to friends as gifts. And over the course of about 3 months, I decided I'm paying way too much for this wax. So I started looking into bulk pricing. And within 2 months of that, we were in the farmer's market in downtown Omaha it was called Light Your Way Candles. We did custom glass jar candles for people. And it was kind of cool, little side business. But my thing was I actually really enjoyed, I found a lot of zen moments, if you will, and just waiting for the wax to melt and pouring these things and then burning them in our house. We always had a really good vibe from these candles. While I was in the Air Force, I had to put that on hold when I went to pilot training because there's not a lot of time for a side business while you're learning to not put a lawn dart, turn your plane into a lawn dart. So it worked out that last year my wife was talking about, what do you think about restarting the candle thing? And it happened to be a weekend. I was up in Omaha for the Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting and had an opportunity to hang out with some of my old crew.
No, wait a minute. So who is the big dog at Berkshire Hathaway? Just because a lot of our audience might not know.
Yeah, Warren Buffett and his buddy Charlie, they drive that ship. And my friend of mine that actually I helped him put together a little bit of his stuff for his officer application. He got picked up, but he's a significant shareholder, and he got me credentials to go to that annual meeting. It was awesome.
Wow.
But what was more awesome than that was – leaving that annual meeting and getting to go have beers with some of the old crew that I flew with, years prior, getting to see them again.
Air Force Base is right there at Omaha too.
Yep. And I was there twice for training. Once for training, then once for an ops group assignment, and just seeing some of them again, it made me realize I was still there with them mentally, but most of my peers in my life weren't. We're at war in most of America. I was at the mall. And between that weekend and my wife wanting to restart the candle thing and work together on this, I just decided I'm gonna make a candle for my friends and for my brother who was Marine infantry and my older brother who was, NVC specialist, and I've my generation of family, myself and my cousins, we're the first ones to have a number of us serve. people ask me all the time since I got out, you know, thanks for your service, or I want to do more. We give to groups like, you know, Wounded Warrior, but we want to do more. We just don't know what to do. And I would always say, you know, we'll start by being prayerful and mindful. You know, it's like if you buy a car, you know, I bought this car I have now and I see it everywhere because I own one. It's part of my daily life. And if our candles can help remind people that there are veterans and military members in their backyard and their office spaces and the house next door, and they're serving or their spouse is there without their loved one who's away at war, if our candles can help remind them that they're there, reach out. Maybe Julie down the street could, you know, use an adult conversation because her husband's been deployed for 4 months. You know, or my friend at work that I know just got back from a deployment and something, you know, transitioned from the normal for him. You know, if we can just through our candles create that regular prompting, just like the car does for me, you see it and you recognize it more. That's our goal. So we have a candle that we make. It's a very high quality soy wax candle. They burn forever, but the biggest thing is the wrap label on there. I call it a prayer. You can call it a poem, but it's for our warriors, their families, and our leaders. And when people light these candles, my hope is that they'll take the time and reflect on or send those words out. Because I just believe that, you know, if we change our mindset about some of this stuff and make it more on the forefront versus the back of our mind, we'll engage in our communities better.
Okay. So there's a memorial and a mindfulness element to your candles. So when I think, a lot of guys, when they think of candles, they think of something only their wives buy. But when I think of candles, I think of that a little bit. But I think of more than that. You know, until 100 years ago, candles and lanterns, and before they started coming up with, you know, before like 300 or 400 years ago, candles was it, and fireplaces and torches and stuff like that. So, I mean, candles for a lot of human history has been the primary source. When I think of candles, I think of, I was into Zen a little bit, and a lot of the time they had you try and meditate on a candle. I got into Zen through martial arts, but also candles at hunting camp and candles in Alaska doing Arctic training. Do you have candles that kind of appeal more to the women, to the feminine taste, and some that are more to the male taste?
Sure. That's a good question. We have, in my efforts, I've tried to create a very patriotic feel to the design of our candle. So if you were to see the candle, it's got this kind of rustic American flag, almost like a plywood colonial blend, feel to it. So it looks it's a very masculine design, but at the same time, it is a fragranced candle. So we have fragrance and unscented, and a whole wide swath of these fragrances. And the ladies are more concerned with the fragrances, to be honest. And the guys, they want something that either looks awesome or they want something that, you know, will smell like the Asian sandalwood is a huge one with the guys. We got one that smells like a men's cologne. We've got I call it the three-pack man candle line. You know, it's a smoked bacon. I call the other one Brewmaster, and it smells kind of like an IPA beer. And we've got the third one, and there's Cubans and cognac. You know, so we've got a whole swath of fragrances, which I take. I'm pretty persnickety with wanting high quality and for them to smell exactly like what they say they are. So yeah, to answer your question, we cover both. It's a single design on our large candles right now. If you go online, you also see some small tins we've done to make a little easier for shipping, because these big candles are the size of the large Yankee candles. So shipping is a factor when you're shipping a 3-pound candle or a number of them. We're working on a retail space as well now with a smaller design and a whiskey glass, which is going to have a very clean look, and you can also use it, you know, for drinks after you burn the candle down, clean it out, and you can retain that as well.
A whiskey glass is brilliant, man. That's great. So, wait a minute. Do you have a website? I should already know that, but do you have a website? Any pictures?
Yeah, we do. We have a website and a Facebook page that shares kind of our story and all of the products that we have.
Okay.
It's at www.liberty-candle.com. And that's our store page, and it's got some of the about us and some of the groups that we're trying to help support. And then you can go to our Facebook page, and I'm on there a lot more with more updates and live video and some of the behind the scenes of our business, like how do we wick our candles, or what causes is some of our proceeds going back to each quarter. And that's facebook.com/libertycandle. So I encourage people to go to both. But on our, like I said, on our Facebook page, I'm always trying to promote the, because one part of our business that's really important to me is 10% of our gross proceeds or our gross revenue go back to the local veteran support organizations here in Kansas City that I know are doing. Like, I'm not qualified, to help someone through support therapies and, home modifications and adjusting to the new normal, right, per se, other than they can call me at 3 a.m. if they need to.
Okay.
But if I can, through this effort, if we can financially support those organizations, that's the number one priority for Liberty Candle.
Cool. Outstanding. So, so can I make a custom request for scents?
Please do.
I would like one that is.
You cannot say stacked bodies and spent rounds, though. My cousin already requested that. That's just a no-go.
What would that smell like? Well, I know what that smells like. No, I would like gun oil, wet dog, and stale beer. How's that sound?
Oh, that sounds like second weekend at fear training. No.
Yeah. Anyway, you've got the guy candle angle and wrapped up. That sounds good. All right.
Wet dog, beer, stale beer. Did I get
stale
that right?
Gun oil, wet dog, and stale beer.
All right, I'm writing that down. My little brother asked for, he said, what was it? He wanted one that smelled like first sergeant breath and non-judicial punishment. I'm like, I got to get creative with that one.
How the hell do you do that, man? Jeez. All right, so how
I don't
about,
know, but it will not be good.
Tell us some of the lessons you've learned for the audience out there, lessons you've learned in starting your business and getting going. What are some of the lessons learned?
The first one that comes to mind is, passion. What are you passionate about? I'm not necessarily – I didn't walk into Michael saying, I'm passionate about candles. And I started making them, and I enjoyed it as a hobby, and I was able to turn that into like a monetized effort. But in the last year, I've really learned the importance of finding something that moves you. Like when I wrote that prayer that's on our candles, I'm not afraid to say I wept for a long time, and still to this day there are times that I read those words to other people, either over the phone or just in conversation, because they want to know what that prayer said, and I'll still find myself a little choked up about it. But all that does is reaffirms to me that this is where my heart is in this, and that makes it easy to get through the hard realities of running and starting your own business. And especially if you start something on the side of a full-time job with a young family, there's a lot of times you gotta hunker down and do the work that's necessary for success. And that passion is what's going to do that. But I want to pivot from kind of that soft skill of being passionate about your business. And I will recommend a couple of books to anybody about that really fired me up about the concept of entrepreneurialism and business leadership. Anything by Jim Collins, Good to Great, Great by Choice, Great by Choice changed my life, to be honest. And then, like the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, by John Maxwell, those books and the principles in there. I'm seeing like how I have to hone those in for myself as an individual if I'm going to grow this business and keep bringing in more resources and mentors and employees down the line and full-scale manufacturing and all those things. But from the soft skills, like the actual technical elements of running a business, you've got to have initiative and figuring things out, and you've got to be bold in picking up the phone or sticking out your hand to get a handshake and an introduction and to meet and find other people that will help advise you on this, or you'll be online like I was, till 2 a.m. Googling how do I set up a business in the state of Kansas? Where do I go to do that? How do I get an account at, you know, the Kansas Department of Revenue website? What's the difference between an LLC and an S-Corp and a C-Corp? And do I need an operating agreement? All those technical details, you can do like I did the hard way and grind till 2, 3, 4 a.m. in the morning for weeks. Or you can turn around and you can grab someone like here in town. I have a good friend and mentor in Jesse Bowden. And he's done this time and time again. I can sit down with Jesse over a cold one and say, all right, give me the crash course. Start me at 30,000 feet, and where do we go from here? And in the course of a couple hours, you know, I've got a brother there that's not just telling me what I need to do, but he's like, hey, let me text you this guy's number. Let me get you introduced to this person. Let me get you to this event that's coming up next week, you know, to pitch to these investment companies. And it's all about being bold to get your idea out there, start making it happen, manifest a if it's a product, get a sample, get a prototype, get the idea, you know, more than just in your head, make something, you know, or if it's a service, communicate about it, come up with, you know, the concept of operations is how you want to execute offering that service. Just be bold about it and do it. Just get up and stick your neck out there and go after it.
Right.
I was just saying, you know, I think about like the amount of time I've spent in making candles and then pivoting and coming over and being the accountant and working on my bank statements and then the bill payer and then the electrician because my wax melter broke down and you know, you're constantly shifting these hats and you've got to lean on other people for your own sanity for the quick, you know, like I said, those crash courses. And then going back to that passion and doing the grind, you know.
Right. You know, and so two things come to mind. One thing that a lot of small businesses, in my experience, have a problem with is accounting, for one thing, managing the money, because a lot of people just don't like to do it. They're not good at it or one or both of those things. So a lot of people either learn how to do it or you find somebody to do it or you outsource it. But a lot of small businesses struggle with that. They don't have good cash flow, or they don't even know what their cash flow is. And that's actually a problem also for a lot of nonprofits. I think we've talked about this. But, you know, and you mentioned mentor, and you and I are both involved also in the Veterans Leadership Network. And that's one of the aims, one of the key goals is to connect veterans so that, you know, you got some guy that's like, God, man, I got a great idea. I got to do this. But he doesn't know what an S-Corp is. He doesn't know what an LLC and how does he file as an LLC and what the fuck is an LLC? You know, and how do you do that in your state and how do you do that in Kansas? Do I need to be in both Missouri and Kansas or Kansas, whatever? And then, there's guys that know that. So if we, you know, with an effective network of veterans or, you know, you can connect and find that mentor really a lot more quickly, which would be a big boon to a lot of people. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think like one of the biggest struggles I had when I left the military, I am a very different person I am today. I left the military and went into military contracting. And the biggest difference is I've learned the value, importance, and the growth and enjoyment I get out of meeting people and connecting with people. You know, it used to be I got orders somewhere and I showed up and we were a crew when I showed up on site. I'm sure you had some cliquish stuff once in a while. But at the end of the day, we were brothers and sisters in arms, and you didn't really have to work extra hard to take a stranger relationship into something, you know, meaningful for your life. It started there with that common ground. And if I could encourage veterans, whether you're an entrepreneurial mind or you want to get a new career going or find an educational route to transition through, get out of the shell and get comfortable with meeting people, introducing yourself and understanding who they are and what's important to them in their lives and what they're trying to accomplish. And then just constantly stick your hand out. Cause I think more than any entitlement, we need handshakes, relationships, and networks to transition into a meaningful life. So.
Right. And trust all relationships, a cornerstone of any relationship is trust. And that's one of the problems in the business community in our economy today is there's been a huge erosion of trust due to a lot of reasons.
Completely agree.
Oh man, I've seen it so much, but veterans tend to trust each other, and it's warranted, as far as I can tell, still, that really hasn't, that cancer hasn't really spread into the, I mean, a veteran, anyways, there's a bond between veterans that might not have to exist outside of a lot of other communities beyond the, each veteran lives and exists in and operates in. So, so we got about 2 minutes left. You know, a lot of what you were talking about is, you know, I saw recently some guy that was talking, he was talking about, you know, each business, small, large, medium size, whatever, really needs to, it's easy to answer, what do we do? What does this business do? But most can't answer, why do we do it? So
right.
It sounds like you've got a big handle on that. So So we got about a minute 40 left. What would you like to close out, and what thoughts would you like to leave to anybody, veterans, non-veterans, male, female, any age? How, what would you like to leave them with in terms of your company and starting a business?
Well, I think, like I said, the goal of Liberty Candle is to create that positive prompt, you know, in the household of Americans, especially non-military households, and that's our why. And I'm going to just piggyback on what you had just said. You know, I read a book by Simon Sinek, and I don't necessarily agree with everything he said, but the name of the book is Start With Why, and that's your differentiator. And if you have any why behind you, you can find a service or product that you can bring that to a fruition and into a substantial business if you have that why behind you. So own that, run with it, and then if I didn't have the veteran network I have here in Kansas City, Liberty Candle wouldn't exist. It would have never gotten off the ground. So trust, go back to that trust thing. You know, let's lean on each other and stick your hand out there, get involved, get active, get on Facebook and LinkedIn and meet up and find the veterans in your communities and engage them.
Okay. Hey, before you go, I got two quick questions for you that I just got passed by Terry, my producer. Okay. Kelly Zano asked, she says, key lime pie, is that offered, or pumpkin pie?
We have an iced pumpkin roll, which smells very similar to pumpkin pie, and I will happily get Kelly a key lime pie fragrance. Just give me a week to get a couple samples and find one that's a good quality.
Good. And then from Susanna Martinez, she says, what is cryptologic linguist? Now, so a linguist is somebody who speaks a language, but crypto just means code. It means when you encrypt something, you encode it. When you decrypt something, you decoded. Would you say that suffices, James?
Yeah, I would say, airborne super secret squirrel linguist. There we go.
Right. There you go. So crypto just means code. So, all right. So thank you, Kelly. And thank you, Susanna. And James Ressler, thanks for being on the show tonight, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, brother. You are awesome. I appreciate it so much, you and the team. Thanks, Jeff.
Dude, I'll be seeing you pretty soon. I don't know, next week or the week after that. So I'll see you then.
A week from today. Yeah, we'll see you a week from today.
All right. Oh, that's right. It's next week. Okay. All right, man.
Yep.
Catch you later.
Stay awesome. Thanks.
Okay. Out of here. Okay, and my next guest is Stephanie McGrew. And hold on, I got to put Stephanie live.
Yeah.
Stephanie, are you there? Stephanie?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Stephanie. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Right. Now, Stephanie McGrew is a friend of mine. We're going to talk about exercise. Stephanie is an exceptional individual. Now, Stephanie is not a veteran, but she has exercised a hell of a lot, both extremely and less so, but a lot of extreme exercise with a lot of SF, Special Forces guys, and a lot of other special operations guys. She is very fit. She is very intelligent. She is very charming. And she is ambitious, and she is full of energy. And she owns – how many – you got three gyms now?
I have two.
Two, okay. So, but you
just
can cater
–
and she's her gyms are in Missouri, so we're going to talk about her gym. Mm-hmm. You're going to tell us about her gyms. Then we're going to talk about exercise and all the different strategies and approaches – for all different ages, both genders, whatever. So in particular for veterans, but for anybody, right?
Okay, sure.
Okay, so tell us about your gyms, and we'll talk a little bit about how you and I came to know each other and all that, and then we'll talk about it, and we'll offer some food for thought for those out there listening.
Perfect. So my name is Stephanie McGrew, like you stated. I am originally from Lubbock, Texas, so I am currently a misplaced Texan, and I live in Missouri. I came to Missouri. I know, it's terrible, but it's okay. Missouri's treating me very well right now. I came to Missouri to attend school, and I earned my degree in exercise science and biology, and I was going to get my master's degree. And I knew that getting my master's was going to take a lot of time. So I wanted to earn some money part-time and kind of create my own schedule. So I wanted to be able to utilize my exercise science degree. And so I opened a side business to help train people. And that just kind of blossomed and grew. And my business originally opened in May of 2013. So the anniversary is coming up in less than a month. And last year, I was able to open my second location, which has been awesome. In May, on our anniversary coming up, I'm actually going to kick out two new exciting things. We're going to offer a healthy, already pre-portioned, pre-cooked meal service. It's going to be here locally starting off. So clients can place an order. I'm going to have a menu every week. And it's going to be, 6 to 10 ounces of protein, your starches, your veggies, and it's going to be pre-cooked, pre-packaged, made from a chef, so it's not going to be frozen. All the veggies and stuff are going to be locally made, locally grown. And we're also going to open up an apparel portion, and that's going to also kick off in May. So we're going to offer, shirts and leggings and all kinds of cool stuff and cute workout gear for my clients and those in the community.
All right. So now your gyms, who is a typical client at your gym?
A typical client, so that's actually a really good question because my demographic for my gym is very diverse. My youngest client is currently 7 years old and my oldest is 86 years old.
Oh, all right.
So I have a huge spectrum, yes, and I train kids. I do a lot of sports conditioning. So a lot of parents will contact me in the summertime so I can keep their kids active and fit so that they're not just sitting at home, watching TV and playing video games. Twice a week, I have a boot camp class for women who are 50 years old and older, and those ladies have been coming to me for over 2 years. I have a lot of women because women naturally want to do more about their body and they want to seek services to help them with, reaching their health and fitness goals. And I actually do have 10% of my clientele are men, which is awesome. And I'm not talking – I have men of various different sizes, various different goals. Like I have one client who came to me. He was probably 100 pounds soaking wet, couldn't do a push-up to save his life. Now he's cranking out pull-ups, and he's gained about 20 pounds since he's been with me. So that's been super exciting. And then I have men on the other side of the spectrum who are, bigger, but they want to slim down for their job or just to get healthy again. And I've been working with them to kind of do that as well.
So I want to talk about assessment when you first meet a client and you find out their goals and everything. But how do you get somebody motivated? If there's somebody out there listening right now, some vet, male, female, 30s, 40s, and they're like, oh, man, I want to get in shape again, but it's such a pain in the ass. What do you tell that person?
Yeah. Well, I tell them to find I know a lot of people who do endurance races and do kind of any kind of longevity athletic event. Find your why. So why do you want to do this? Of course,
right,
to look better and to feel good. But, I get a lot of moms, newly moms who say, I can't keep up with my 3-year-old and I feel bad when I'm trying to chase them and I have to stop and take a breath. Or, I can't go up and down the stairs freely because I'm not physically capable of, doing that. So I tell a lot of people to find their why because that'll help keep them motivated. And I tell people to shy away from picking like a number on the scale because your weight is a terrible depiction of your athletic and fitness progression.
Right.
I always say, look at your inches that are lost or your body fat percent because those will be better indicators of how you're progressing and how you are coming along, fitness wise compared to the number on the scale, because I weigh a lot more than I look. And it's shocking to clients when I first sign them and they're like, oh, I want to be, 120. And then I always play the guessing game. I'm like, well, guess how much I weigh. And they're like, oh, 130, 140. And I'm like, yeah, I wish I hadn't been that size since, junior high. And I'll step on the scale and just show them, exactly how much I weigh. And it's always mind-blowing to them, because a lot of people are conditioned to think about the scale and to be a certain weight, and that's not the right way to think about being healthy and being fit.
You know, one thing I've noticed a lot with people, with males and females, they have some kind of idea that's not really realistic. It also depends on your goals. There's a difference between I want to look like this, or what I think my ideal, you know, body should be, or performance. And this is where you get into the people that do a lot of racing. They do martial arts. They do a lot of, you know, they do go ruck, they do rucking, they do the obstacle, all those different obstacle course races, and they want to perform well. They want to, it's more about performance, and those people have a different look. They look more athletic. They look a different type of fit than the people that just want to be skinny. And I have a hard time, and I think fewer and fewer people just want to be skinny. Because if you want to be just skinny, a lot of people starve themselves, but you don't. Fitness anymore is really attractive to a lot of people, you know. And I've seen this in women, too, that I think that women, the general attitude amongst a lot of women, especially in their teens and their 20s and even their 30s anymore, they want to be fit for a reason. They have some goal. Again, they want to do, they want to do Spartan races, Tough Mudder, Rugged Maniac, whatever. Maybe even they just want to do a couple, those what's the races where they cover you with the neon paint and all that stuff. There's all those different 5K races.
The color run.
They just want to do a couple color runs a year, but they want to feel good. So, and I also ask guys, I ask men and women both. I say, when's the last time you had a physical, and what was your what was your blood workup? What was your body? What was your blood chemistry?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Definitely an important question, because a lot of people don't know that answer either.
No, they don't. What was your, it's more important for people at past 40, especially past 50. What's your cholesterol? What's your blood chemistry? What's your, what are all your different values with your blood chemistry? And a lot of them, and in 20s and 30s, they won't even know what you're talking about. But but they gotta find. So anyways, all right. So somebody comes in, and how do you go about? How do you start figuring out, so you find out what they want to look like, their goals, and where do you go from there? And how do you, in terms of exercises, approaches, strategies, that sort of thing?
So I always do a fitness test to kind of evaluate their fitness level. And that includes everything from their strength to their core to their endurance. So that'll give me a good indication of how to create their prescription for their workouts. And I always go over nutrition. Because like you stated before, a lot of people are in this mode of I don't need to eat a lot, when in reality our bodies need a lot more food than people are feeding themselves.
Right.
And that's probably one of the hardest things, is getting my clients to eat enough, because they think, oh, I'm just not going to eat because I, you know, for whatever reason they come up with. And that's actually the wrong thing to do. Is if you're not eating enough, your body is not going to adapt to the workout and exercise that you're doing. And you're not going to lose weight in an efficient way. Now, some people will, yes, they'll drop weight, but then they'll hit a plateau. Or I'm a huge, huge, huge stickler on, not excluding things from your diet. Like to say, I'm going to give up sugar, I'm going to give up dairy, or I'm going to give up carbs for the next 30 days is a terrible idea. You're setting yourself up for failure, because what are you going to do after those 30 days are over? You're going to eat them again. And then naturally you're going to gain, water weight back or some kind of weight back that's going to kind of set you back in physically and mentally, because you said, well, I've been working hard over these X amount of days, not eating X, Y, and Z, then I, ate a donut, and then now look what happened. So I'm always a huge, huge stickler on portion control and making sure you monitor your macronutrients. And I train clients, I have about 15 distance clients that are all over the United States. So I don't help people just locally. My distance clients are more, I'd say, advanced fitness enthusiasts. So they know their way around the gym. I do help a lot with their nutrition, but I send them workouts weekly. We do a weekly Skype or, phone call to kind of check in with each other. But I definitely harp on the aspects of eating right along with building, more exercise and more endurance. And then, like you said, finding goals, whatever that goal may be. So some clients, it's harder for them to look at the big picture goal. So I have to set weekly goals with them. And that's going to be, drinking more water, or this week I'm going to eat better and I'm going to actually stick to my macronutrients that, I should be eating. Other clients do very well with it, and they will say, okay, I want to run this race, or I want to, be able to do 15 push-ups, or I want to be able to run a mile without stopping. So So their goals are going to vary depending on the person and what they're actually looking for. And depending on those goals is how I will create their workouts and create their nutritional guides to kind of help them with that.
Interesting. So how do you contact, I want to know, how do you connect, how do you find most of your distant clients? And also tell us how to find you on Facebook and your website. I haven't actually been to your website in, probably Christmas time. But so how do people find you? But I also want to how have you found most of your distance clients?
I find a lot of my distance clients either by word of mouth. So, like, I have clients that live here, but their sister or their cousin or their, you know, best friend from college will see the progress
right.
that they're making, and they'll have met me for whatever reason, and they'll say, I think Stephanie's awesome, she's fun, she's encouraging, she's uplifting, I want to try to work out with her, and I want to do distance training. I've met some of my clients, I do a ton of distance races, so I do all of them, you know. Like you said, I do a ton of go-rucks, I do other mud runs, I do that kind of stuff, and I'll meet people at these events, and they'll find out that I'm a personal trainer, and then they'll contact me after the event saying, you know, I did the event great, but I could have done more, or I want to be stronger, or I want to do, you know, X, Y, and Z, and then I'll help them that way. And a lot of people can contact me via my website, which I actually just redid, so you actually get to see the new revamped website.
Oh, good.
It's www.infinitelifefitness.com, or you can find me on Facebook. And I distinguish, I have two business entities. I have Lone Star Physiques, which is my studio and everything that I do locally. And then Infinite Life Fitness is what I do more online, because I started the online stuff before I opened my studio. So I didn't want to get rid of that stuff because I still have clients under that umbrella.
Okay, say both of those a little bit slower.
Sorry, yes. So my studios, which are located in Missouri, is Lone Star Physiques, and Physiques is spelled PHYSIQUES.
Okay.
Other one that I do a lot of my online stuff is called Infinite Life Fitness.
Okay.
And I can spell that out
okay.
if you need me to.
I got it. I bet you Leticia does. So, okay. Also, I got to tell us, we already said that you do a lot, but you really are, you know, I don't know how many times I've come across some SF guy and he knows you. I'll find out, oh, you're Goruck Cadre, and oh, do you know Stephanie McGrew? And they all know you, man, because you've done so many Gorucks and you've done so many other races and so many other events. But you're kind of a rock star too, because you haven't just done a bunch of Gorucks. You've done a bunch of I don't know, all the different combos. You've done like double heavies, and I think, I don't know, what, you do some crazy shit like a triple heavy recently or some crap like that?
I did the triple
insane.
Heavy. Yep.
Oh my God. So tell, just to kind of give people an idea what that is, explain what a heavy is. And you did three in a row.
Yeah, so I'll take a step back and say what Goruck is. And that is endurance-based team, like tactical event. So these races are held in all major cities around the world. And you sign up for the race. Your team are the other people who sign up for the race. You show up. The people who lead the quote-unquote, I use race, the term race loosely, but the people who lead the event are Special Forces cadre. So they put you through, you know, various physical and mental challenges that you have to work through with your team. And so typically a Goruck light is, you know, 6 to 8 hours. A Goruck challenge, or tough, I think they call it a tough now, is, you know, 10 to 13 hours, I'll say, in that range. And a Goruck heavy is 24 to 26 hours, and you go the continuous the whole time without stopping. So what I did was the triple heavy, which is we did 24 hours, we stopped, refueled, did another 24 hours, stopped, refueled, and did another 24 hours. We started with almost 40 people, I want to say, 30 or 40 people, and we only finished with 8 people.
So those 8, so you were one female. How many, because I use Goruck as an example, that there's a lot of women that can do a lot of stuff that a lot of people traditionally haven't thought women could do. Right. And so how many of those eight, how many, were there any other females?
Yes, there was one more female. Her name was Patty, or Patricia.
So you and Patty, and you and Patty and six guys, eight, finished. Because I tell you what, those GORUCKs are getting dangerously close to to Special Forces selection. That's kind of crazy. So this is extremely strenuous, and the way people describe the way often Special Forces selection is described as a masochistic or sadistic endurance event. And that's kind of the way GORUCK's getting with some of these combinations they're doing. But so I don't want to give the impression to all the people listening here that everybody has to aim for this extreme. So why do that? And then I want to bring it back to, some people that do GORUCKs, they start out small steps and they work up. They just keep pushing the envelope. So what mm-hmm. do you get out of it? And what's it like when you finish these things? And why do you keep doing them? Why do you keep abusing yourself?
I think it's I do it for the team and to push myself mentally and physically, because, you know, I've done a lot of events, but each event I try to do a little bit more. You know, I try to carry the weight a little further, or I try to run a little faster, or, you know, uplift my team just a little bit more. So every time you work on pushing yourself to be better, not only physically, but mentally, because, you know, like I said, you're going for long hours, so you're sleep deprived, it's cold outside, you're hungry, you know, you have all these environmental factors that are affecting you, but you want to be able to push past that and think of things, you know, beyond that. And so I do them because it's, why not do them? So a lot of places, you know, sometimes we're able to do charity and raise money. I know a big charity that a lot of the things that I've been involved with has gone to the Green Beret Foundation. So, you know, we definitely take pride in giving back to veteran-owned charities. I know myself, I'm a huge advocate for, like, local food banks, so I know I've also done stuff for that as well. But the key is, you know, if I can put myself through just a little bit of pain to raise money that's going to help a family out that needs it, you know, then that's the least I can do. Or to put ourselves in the shoes of the men and women that are overseas, you know, sacrificing their lives and their families. And, you know, people say that, you know, the soldiers sacrifice, but the families also sacrifice that are here, you know, that are missing those people. And if I can just put myself, you know, in pain for that, you know, small amount of time compared to what they're doing, you know, just to help them out, you know, that's the least I can do to show my gratitude and thankfulness for them doing that for us.
You know, and another thing is, so GORUCKs, and there's some other examples, but we'll keep talking about GORUCKs because you've done so many, and that's what we're talking about. So, but one of the things is the bonding that happens in each group or each class or what have you, and it's that cohesion that happens, that chemistry that happens with the group is very intoxicating mm-hmm. because a lot of classes you become friends. There's a huge social aspect to that. And when you go through with a bunch of other people, especially a group that loses most of that group through attrition of some sort, you get really, really bonded. I'm still in contact with a bunch of guys I went through Special Forces selection with and the whole course with through mm-hmm. Facebook mostly. But anyways, it's that common bond of that shared misery that at the end you're – because there's nothing like your first GORUCK, right, where you're like, holy shit, what was that? And – right? And there's always some newbie at a GORUCK, and they're always like, oh, my God. So do you try to leverage that social element at your gym? Because lots of groups do that. You have that in sports. You have that in a lot of sports. Of course, CrossFit tries to really propagate the whole social interaction with their gym. So and I think a lot of people are like, I don't need all that bullshit. So if somebody came to you and said, well, how would you explain the whole social element to exercise versus being alone? How would you get at that?
Well, I definitely will say that I've met some of my current closest friends about or through doing GORUCK events. And it's definitely a social aspect because I feel that every day we get nudged in our boxes. Like you're in your work box, you're with your friends or you're with your family.
Right.
But when you do these events, you're able to meet like-minded individuals who want to strive to achieve the same mental and physical goals that you're going after. So being able to find that niche of friends is kind of priceless, because now whenever, for instance, you know, I have friends in, you know, Wisconsin or St. Louis or Kansas City. For instance, you know, the Warrior Dash is coming up, and I said, hey, who wants to do this with me? Because, you know, naturally, I don't want to do this by myself. I had several of them like, yeah, you know, I'm free that weekend. Let's get up and do it. And then, you know, then that turned into, hey, there's this event going on in Chicago. You know, who wants to carpool? Or we need to get together, you know. It's just you create these friendships and bonds with one individual, because you might not necessarily have that in your everyday life, which is, you know, unfortunate, but you're able to build that.
Hey, Steph, you're breaking up. Are you moving around in your house or wherever you're at? Because are you there, Stephanie?
No, I'm sitting in the same spot.
Huh, well, you were breaking up there a little bit. So so what would you say to somebody that says, I don't want to work out with other people. I only want to work out alone. How would you come at that? Because I get that sometimes. And even in gyms, you know, gyms can, any just a regular weight gym can be pretty social, but you always got those individuals that don't want to talk to anybody. But then that's fine. You let them go. But I think there's a lot of benefit to a social interaction, because as human beings, we are social creatures. So do you, how would you approach, how would you respond to somebody that said, I only want to work out alone?
I would say, there's absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to work out on your own. And in all honesty, I like to, whenever I'm in my zone and I want to do my own workouts, I like to do them on my own as well. It's very rare. Like I'll do small workouts with clients, but I can count on one hand how many times I've legitimately had like a quote-unquote workout partner. And that's just because I get in my zone, I have my own ways, my own methods. So there's definitely nothing wrong with that. I definitely think you should go beyond that and do other events and activities with other people and not just isolate yourself completely. But that's just one of those things that someone has to want to do. You know, you can't really force them or push them to do it.
No, that's true. I think for most people, I think you got those people that probably will only want to work out alone, and that's fine as long as you're moving and exercising and doing something. And those people that can't do it alone, I see that a little. I think for most people, probably a good mix, and then finding the right mix, the right balance for each individual is the big is the challenge. I've never lifted weights with people, and I love to work a heavy bag. By myself.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's so fun to work a heavy bag with somebody else, especially if it's a younger guy and I can give him some tips on his punches and his technique and stuff like that. But I only like to run. I don't like to really run with other people unless it's in some kind of event,
mm-hmm.
because anyways, it's kind of meditational if you can run alone. So we talked about exercise, diet. What other issues besides exercise and diet might you look at with somebody?
I look at, with health and fitness, physically, there's a lot of mental barriers. I feel that, you know, some of my clients don't have the support at home. So when you say the camaraderie that you find at events, I've definitely translated that to my studio and a lot of my clients, even that are my distance clients. You know, since I do travel and do events, there was a week that I was gone to Europe doing a race, and my clients collectively got together. They planned their own times. They got together and did workouts that I left for them. I didn't ask them to do that.
No.
That's just something they did with each other to remain accountable. And that's because, you know, sometimes, like I said, clients don't have that support at home, or it's hard to balance because they have three kids and they have a full-time job and their husband has a full-time job. And, you know, they have parents to worry about, or, you know, family issues. So I tell my clients to make sure that, it's, you know, working out, and it should be a scheduled appointment that you have with yourself, you know, 2-3 times a week. And you should do your best not to break that appointment, because it is just as important to take care of yourself as it is other people in your life. Because if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't help those other people. And
that's
people don't understand or realize that.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. You got to take care of yourself. And I see that in a lot of parents who forget that.
Yes.
So tell me a few of your favorite exercises, just a few, three, four that you particularly, whatever, however many you want to cite.
Well, first, since I'm such a huge GORUCK junkie, you will very rarely catch me without my rucksack on if I'm outside doing any kind of workout. Having a backpack with that added 10 to 20 pounds just changes the whole dynamic of your workout, hands down.
Right.
Also, like burpees. Burpees are one of, people hate burpees, but they're one of my favorites. It's crazy. I also love doing stair sprints because it's a high intensity workout that you can do stair sprints, like running up and down stairs.
Oh, right. You were breaking up there. Stair sprints. Gotcha.
Yep. Because like I said, you can do that with your rucksack on and you can run up and down stairs, you know, pretty efficiently and quickly, but you'll still get a high cardio workout and you don't have to sit on the treadmill for an hour. You can do stair sprints for 15 to 20 minutes. Get a great workout, get a high caloric burn, and then be done with your cardio for the day.
Yeah, stair sprints are good for HIIT, for high intensity. So, you know, one thing I'm seeing a hell of a lot more in the gym is weighted vests.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a variation on rucks, except it's a vest. But I'm more of a ruck guy, but. And I've been known to ruck to the gym and then wear the gym in certain workout days and take it off for parts of the workout. But rucks, you can carry shit. You can have your water on your back.
Exactly.
So how about sleep and stress? Does that ever come up with clients?
Yes. Sleep and stress are two huge things, especially with women and our hormone levels. If you're stressed out and, you know, just pushing yourself to, you know, burning yourself at both ends of the candle, you know, naturally it's going to be harder for you to lose weight and drop pounds and to sleep good at night. I found that when clients are eating a well-balanced meal and working out regularly, they sleep a lot better. When they do get sleep, they sleep harder and it's a more fulfilling sleep. And they're able to manage and help their stress. They say workout is one of the best things you can do to help relieve stress. You know, that it helps with stress reduction and depression reduction, and people just, you know, with the weather getting nice, if you're stressed out or feeling overloaded, literally just take a 15, 20 minute walk, clear your head, listen to some music, turn your phone off. I'm a huge advocate of, you know, just unplugging from the world. And there are days, a lot of times when I do my own workouts, I won't answer clients' questions. I won't answer phone calls. I won't answer tests. Like, I literally will just put my phone in airplane mode. I will listen to my music, unplug from the world, and just focus on me for 30 minutes. And it makes a huge difference on how I'm able to just get done with my workout and then jump back into, you know, getting some things done for work and then kind of getting ready for the next day.
Well said. So, actually, we're a little bit into the overtime, but we got as much time as we want, actually. So, So if somebody was sitting on the fence, somebody was listening now or listening later, and they're kind of on the fence, and they need. What are some getting started strategies that you would tell them, any gender, any age, for getting back into exercise mode?
I would say the first thing is to sit down and create a realistic goal. And I'm not saying like I want to lose 10 pounds. I say look at the smaller picture. So if you haven't worked out in a really long time, sit down and say, this week I want to do certain exercise or activity, you know, 30 minutes on Wednesday and Friday because I know I have those blocks open. That literally just start big. You don't want to throw so much at yourself that it's really going to be a hard transition for you to break some habits and change your lifestyle around. You want to slowly integrate these things. Then you can say, okay, I'm going to drink more water next week, or I'm going to work on eating, you know, less fried food or eating less sugary things and trying to incorporate more vegetables. So the slower and steadier you do it, the better of a transition it should be to help you kind of adapt those habits. And I tell people to just not to be afraid. There are so many resources with the internet these days, you know, with the help of Pinterest and Instagram and Facebook, of being able to find, you know, these home workout. But that's where, you know, it's job security because that accountability. When they show up, they get the email from or get the phone call that I'm going to ask about what they are or aren't doing, or I'm going to provide the workout for them, and they don't have to think about it. They just literally have to go and do it. And that is what makes them feel better, because it can be overwhelming trying to figure out, well, what workout should I do here, or what kind of food should I eat here, and trying to balance all of that. So the key is just to start small, make small goals. But if you need help, to not be afraid to ask for it and to, you know, use your resources to get that help.
Right. Outstanding. That's well said. All right. Well, we're a few minutes over. You want to anything else you want to add? Any closing thoughts you want to offer to the listeners? Oh, you're breaking up again. Stephanie? Now I can't hear you at all. Stephanie, are you there?
I think I'm back. Yep.
Okay, now I got you. All right. So I missed all of what you said. Try it again. Now, hi. You're breaking up on me again. The only thing I heard was, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds good.
Okay. Okay. Is it clear now? Can you hear me straight?
Yeah. Now you sound loud and clear.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
try it one more time.
One more time. Third time's a charm. I offer online distance training. You can find me on Facebook at Lone Star Physiques or Infinite Life Fitness. You can also find me on Instagram for either of those handles. You can also email me at workout@lonestarphysiques.com or infinitelifefitness@gmail.com. Both of them are unanimous. I get both of them. I definitely take pride. I specialize, you know, in women's health and fitness to help women. You know, naturally, I help a lot of women, but I think I've kind of found a niche to help because people don't realize there's a lot of emotional that goes with the physical. So I definitely cater
right.
to both and trying to figure out a good balance.
Right. Cool. All right. Well said.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, it was great to have you on. I really appreciate it. Always love to talk about exercise. So, Stephanie McGrew, Lone Star Physiques,
yes.
Infinite Life Fitness. Thanks for coming on, babe.
Yes.
I appreciate it. And I'll talk to you later about some of the rucks we got. We were talking about later, late in the spring, early summer, like the dog
perfect.
Ruck.
Can't wait to get back.
I'll talk to you later. Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. See you, babe. Thanks for coming on. And to all of our listeners out there, this is Jeffrey Armadillo, Mother Forker, saying be safe, sleep well, and out here.